But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another. Birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the... But the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendour. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus' resurrection isn't just good news for Jesus. It isn't even just good news for us. It's good news for our whole world. That Jesus' resurrection powers a whole new creation that's to come. Father, we pray that you would lift our vision to that now and capture us with it and help us to live our lives now in the light of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've already said, we've been spending the last 2 weeks looking at the significance of the resurrection. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Jesus rose from the dead and the evidence that we have for that. And last week, we see that we also will rise from the dead on the last day if we trust in Jesus and what he's done for us in his death and resurrection. Now, that's great, but it does leave a couple of questions, doesn't it? Because it's all very well to think, yes, I'll be raised from the dead on the last day, but what on earth could my resurrection body look like? I mean, it's all very well to say we'll be raised on the last day, but how will that happen? You know, how exactly could God raise a corpse to life? Especially, not to put too fine a point on it, if that corpse is now decomposed and all the bits have been absorbed into other things. I mean, when God raises me to life, does he need to take back all my atoms from the rose bushes and the mountains and the oceans or whatever else they've been absorbed into and put them all back together again, Lego style? And once he's done that, what would it actually mean for my body to actually be deathless, to never die? What would a body like that even look like? I mean, human resurrection sounds nice when you talk about it, but when you press it for the details, it's a little bit harder to believe in, isn't it? It seems even harder when you ask the next question, where will all these resurrected bodies live? I mean, let's say for the sake of argument that believers will be raised to life, where will our bodies go? Will God raise them to life in this world, where everything will keep dying except us? Then what will happen when the universe dies? Do we just kind of float around in space forever? Now, these might sound like absurd questions, but actually you've got to answer them if you're going to believe in the resurrection. How might this actually work in practice? Well, you know, Paul writes the last part of 1 Corinthians 15 to answer these questions. He explains how it is that human bodies can rise from the dead, and he explains where they'll live. But most of all, he explains the point of all this, the defeat of death. You see, it turns out that God's aim in raising Jesus to life and then us is not just to save human life, it's to resurrect a whole new world. And that is a place where nothing is ever going to die again. So let's get into it. If you're following along in your leaflets, you'll see we've just got two brief points today. The first of all is, what will resurrected bodies look like? You see, the Corinthians are asking exactly the question that I've just asked us now. How in practice could God raise the dead? Look there at verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? To which Paul replies somewhat surprisingly, verse 36, how foolish. We hear that question and we think, oh, that's actually pretty reasonable. But he actually thinks it should be easy for us to imagine how a dead body could be raised and that it's even stupid to ask. But you know, the reason he does that is because he says we've already seen this sort of process happen countless times in nature in the way that seeds grow. And he uses them as an analogy. Look there at verse 36. How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. That is, he draws in an agricultural metaphor. When you plant a seed in the ground, it dies, but then it comes to life again. But when it rises with a very different body to the one that was buried in seed form in the ground. Look at verse 37 to 38. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. And we just saw that with the All Ages talk, didn't we? You know, a wheat seed or any kind of seed is small, round, and hard. But a wheat plant is tall and green and lush. In other words, its resurrected form is totally different to its seed form. And yet, one still comes from the other. And just because you couldn't tell from the seed what its resurrected form would look like, doesn't mean it still doesn't have one. Its resurrected body just looks different to its seed body. And actually, Paul goes on to say, we see this kind of thing all through nature. Look at verse 39. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Which means, when it comes to the resurrection, our resurrected body doesn't have to look exactly like my earthly body. It can look different, even though it comes from it. Verse 42, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Note that the resurrected body will still have a degree of continuity with the mortal body. Look there at verse 42 again. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Do you see what he's saying? The body that's sown and the body that's raised, they are still the same body. Just as the seed and the plant are the same body, they're all part of the same organism. But there's also going to be a huge discontinuity between our resurrected and mortal bodies. Because the resurrected body has had all of the death taken out of it. Look then again at verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection body. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Our resurrected bodies will still be ours. They'll still be our bodies. They'll still be us. They're still plants that have come from the same seed. But they'll also be very different. They'll be deathless. But that's okay, because there's more than one sort of body in the world. And just because my earthly body dies and rots doesn't mean that my resurrected body has to be the same sort of body. I mean, that would be weird, wouldn't it? I mean, that's sort of zombie material. No, rather, there are different sorts of body, and the resurrected body is a different sort of one to the earthly body. Which, when you think about it, is exactly what you see when you look at the one example of a resurrected body we have, Jesus. You see, Jesus' body, when he was raised from the dead, did look similar to his pre-death body, didn't it? I mean, it was physical. You know, he could eat fish for breakfast and he could be touched. He was still recognizably the same guy, Jesus. His disciples could recognize him. He was even able to carry through death and resurrection signs of his pre-death body. He had wounds in his hands and in his feet. There was continuity there, but of course there was also radical discontinuity. I mean, for example, he was able to now seemingly walk through walls. He had a control over the physical creation that his pre-resurrection body didn't have. There was continuity, but also discontinuity, but most importantly, all the death was taken out of it. And our body, Paul concludes, will be modelled on Jesus' body. Verse 48, as was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the heavenly man, so also those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. We also will be the same, but wonderfully different. Now, before we move on, does this mean that we know exactly what our resurrection bodies will look like? Well, of course not. The Bible only has hints. But we know that whatever they look like, they won't be disappointing, because we'll be made to look like Jesus. C.S. Lewis, the Oxford Don and Christian, was writing to a friend of his, a guy called Malcolm, about exactly this question, who'd asked him, what will it look like? And I love his answer. He said this. He said, maybe it'll be like this. Then the new earth and sky, the same yet not the same as thee, will rise in us as we have risen in Christ. And once again, after who knows what eons of the silence and the dark, the birds will sing out, and the waters flow, and lights and shadows move across the hills, and the faces of our friends laugh upon us with amazed recognition. Guesses, of course, only guesses. If they are not true, something better will be. For we know that we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he really is. You know, our resurrected bodies, they will be the same as our earthly bodies in a way, but they'll also be different. But the main point is that they will have all of the death taken out of them. And that's a good thing, because we'll need that to live in our new world. So that brings us to our second and our last point. Where does a resurrected person actually live for eternity? Well, according to the Bible, in a new resurrected world. Look there at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Do you not hear how Paul puts it? He says that we're destined to inherit something, the kingdom of God, the imperishable. That is, our resurrected bodies won't just be raised on their own, but they'll actually be put somewhere. They'll be put in something called the imperishable kingdom of God. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he's talking about what the Bible calls the new creation, or the new heavens and the new earth. You see, according to the Bible, God isn't just going to raise us on the last day, but also bring in a whole new world. Listen to how the Apostle John describes it in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That is, we won't just be raised to life on the last day, but then get put back in this world, which is still subject to death. No, rather, God is going to renew this world too and get rid of all the death in it as well. So it can be a place where resurrected people can live forever. Just like our bodies, it will still be recognizably this world, but also so transformed and improved that you can call it a new creation. Now, that is a pretty, frankly, incredible claim. That God isn't just going to renew our bodies, but the whole world, bring in a new physical creation that's going to be completely devoid of death and totally new. How could we possibly believe that? Well, because we've already seen the very first part of that new creation, Jesus' body. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts it as he writes to the Corinthians in his second letter to them. He's describing what Jesus has done for people, and he says that he died for them and was raised again. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And because of this, Paul goes on to say that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he no longer looks at people in the same way he used to. He no longer looks at Jesus the same way he used to. He used to think that Jesus was just a guy. But now that he's seen Jesus raised to life, he's seen that a new creation has begun. In Jesus' risen body, Paul has seen the first clod of earth, if you like, of the new creation, such that anyone who believes in Jesus is also part of that new creation. It's coming up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. You see, where can we find this wonderful new creation that God is talking about? Well, in one sense, only in the future, when Jesus returns and remakes the whole world. But you know, in another sense, we've already seen it break into this world in Jesus' resurrected body. And because we've seen that, we can trust that he'll bring in the rest of the new creation when he returns. It's a bit like, imagine you're on the edge of a massive, I don't know, South American jungle. And you've been told that in the middle of that jungle, there is a fabled kingdom made of gold. Now, it sounds great, doesn't it? But pretty hard to believe. Until someone returns to the edge of the jungle with a piece of that kingdom, a massive ingot of gold. It gets much easier to believe that it's out there, doesn't it? Because although you've not seen it, you've seen a piece of the kingdom. And so you know the rest is there. It's exactly the same with Jesus' resurrected body and the new world he's bringing in. We have seen a piece of it. You see, that is the ultimate goal of Jesus' resurrection. Not just to raise himself, not even to raise us. It's to restore the whole universe. He came to turn back not just his death or our death, but death itself, the death of everything. That is the point of the new creation that starts with Jesus' resurrected body and ends with our resurrected bodies and the new world they will live in. Victory over death. Look at verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's Mother's Day, and we're thinking about mothers, aren't we? Hello, mums. My mum is in a nursing home. She's 82, and she's been suffering from Parkinson's for several years now. And to be honest, she's not doing too well. She's flat on her back, and she can't really move. And she's got bad shakes from the Parkinson's that there's only so much that the medication can kind of treat. She's in Tasmania, and so I try and get down as much as I can. And we went down just after Easter to see her with a couple of the kids. Now, for anyone who's ever been in a situation like this, you know that it's really hard to see someone you love living like that, isn't it? You know, it's hard to see someone who used to be so strong, who I remember reading to me when I was a kid. She'd pop me on her lap. I remember teaching me how to cook. I remember seeing her drag bits of wood around the garden so that she could make garden beds. So strong. It's really hard to see someone who you remember doing that now so weak and shaky that she needs help to drink a cup of Milo out of a straw. If you had to place a bet on who is winning the fight at the moment, mum or death, you'd put your money on death every time. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of victory going on in mum's body at the moment. But there will be, because Jesus rose from the dead. And in his body, we've seen a sneak peek of the world to come, a new creation where there'll be no more death, where death will be swallowed up in victory. And that's the world my mum's going to be a part of. You see, mum's a believer. She has been for years. And because of that, she will be raised to life on the last day. And when that happens, all the death will fall out of her. All the shakes, all the weakness, the confusion, the drinking through straws, gone in the twinkling of an eye. And on that day, it won't be mum in bed, it will be death. It will be death that is on its deathbed, and death will die. And at its funeral, at the funeral of this cruel tyrant death that has taken so much from so many for so long, this is the hymn we will sing to it as we see it lowered into the ground. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And then we'll throw in our dirt and we'll forget about it, because death will be gone. That's a day my mum is really looking forward to. And I'm sure it's a day that you're looking forward to too. The resurrection is about so much more than Jesus' body. It's about our bodies. It's about our world. It's about a new future, a new creation that we can all be part of if we put our trust in Jesus, because of what has happened to Jesus' body when he rose from the dead. So thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that one day even death will die. It'll be death on its deathbed, death in the coffin, and there'll be no weeping at that funeral. Rather, there'll be rejoicing as we sing, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Now, Father, frankly, that just seems fanciful. As we look at our own bodies as they decay, as we look at the world around us as it decays. And yet, Father, we know that we have seen the first clod of earth of that kingdom. Father, we have seen the first ingot of gold of that kingdom. We've seen Jesus' resurrected body, and so we know the rest is to come. Father, we pray that if we already trust in Jesus, you'd comfort us with that, whatever we're going through. Father, if we don't yet trust in Jesus, if we don't yet know him, Father, we pray that we'd know that comfort now, even now, that Jesus is powerful enough to bring in even a whole new world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.